Today is October 19 in the year 2013, and I am at the Montreal MPC. We had a beautiful day today. We started the day with gathering of our OI brothers and sisters here, and we had a beautiful ceremony of recitation of the 14 mindfulness trainings. And it was a very good start of the day. I have suggested that the format of this day be what we will be following in the next month's e-talks in Montreal. We will combine the OI recitation ceremony with the e-talks. And so if you meeting some time before the e-talk, that could be something that we may be thinking of doing together, if you like. So today's theme for the Dharma talk is to be or not to be, Lisa. But before we get to the theme of the talk, I would like to remind you, well, you maybe already know, so this is a reminder. And if you do not already know it, we have had a very good, I don't know how to qualify it, but 11th of October was the continuation day of our teacher, Thầy Thích Nhất Hạnh. Birthday was on the 11th of October. And I don't know what you were doing, you were doing on that day. I thought of him. I look back at our experiences or the experiences I've had with our teacher, and that made me feel very happy. It made me feel happy. It made me also feel nostalgic. Made me feel well. There were many mixed feelings, but the thing that filled me most with joy is that he's still in his physical form with us, and that made me very happy. And thinking of him on his continuation day, I also remember his request some 10-12 years ago. And he said, if you love me and you want to send me a gift on my continuation day, please know that I have everything that I need and that I do not need anything else. So please do not send me ropes or bowls, because I can only use two bowls and three ropes or whatever. There's nothing that I need that I do not already have. And the only gift, the best gift that you can give me as my student is to write to me and to tell me about your practice and your transformation. And that is the best gift that you can give me on my continuation day. And so this morning when we were reciting the 14 mindfulness trainings of the Order of Interbeing, it was in that spirit, it was an offering from our Sangha here in Montreal to our teachers through the space and time. And while waiting for the technical adjustment on GoToMeeting, I was thinking, that came to me, that image of students of Thai everywhere today, in Canada, in the US, and in many other parts of the world, all joining in that thought of our teacher's continuation, the precious teaching that we are receiving, that we have received from him, and how each and every one of us, wherever we are, how we can continue him. Reading the Lotus Sutra, thinking about today's theme of to be or not to be, remembering the teachings of the Buddha, that we are all Buddhas to be, looking at my teacher and seeing the Buddha in him, seeing that he is nothing less than the true continuation, the true image, the wonderful continuation, the wonderful body of the Buddha, still well and alive among us right in this time. And seeing that, I feel so immensely, deeply happy. We do not need to go to India. We do not need to go back 2600 years. We look at our teacher and we see the Buddha in him. And that is the manifestation for me of the teachings of the Lotus Sutra, that the Buddha only appeared to have been born 2600 years ago in India. And that historical birth of him 2600 years ago is only an appearance, because he was already there a long time before. He may have appeared under different forms, with bearing different names, and he just appeared there, or appeared to be born on the Vesak day many years ago. And he died in his physical form. And his Paranirvana, his disappearing, is also, I think, an appearance. Because if he was there before his birth, how can he disappear after his death? And on Thai's continuation day, when I look at him, I can see that the Buddha has not died, and that the Buddha is still very alive. The Buddha appearing, the Buddha disappearing, the Buddha being, or the Buddha not being. I will quote Thai again. To be or not to be, that is not the question. And I don't know how you felt reading and studying the Lotus Sutra, but having had the chance to come back to it with you have brought me so many insights and a lot of deep, quiet joy from realizing how lucky we are to have met our teacher and to have been and to have had the chance to be in touch with his teaching and to have all the conditions that we have together to be able to put them into practice, to make them become alive, to make it become real. And it is through our practice, through our making it real in our daily life, to be walking, to be in this world as OI brothers and sisters, as the friends on the path, as the bodhisattvas that we aspire to be and to follow. And I am deeply grateful for Thai's teaching and for having the chance to be practicing, to be studying, and to be walking this wonderful path with all of you. Thai has taught us that the Buddha of the future will not be an individual, but will be a Sangha. And I'm trying to apply the Lotus Sutra literally in seeing that I am, and that each of us are all Buddhas to be. And the image of that Buddha becomes so, I don't know which word to use, but if we are all Buddhas, and if we also, each of us are a cell of the Buddha to be, and if everyone around us are also Buddhas to be. This morning, I have looked at one of the reading that was suggested to us, and there was a beautiful description. When the Buddha was asked by bodhisattvas coming from everywhere, we want to stay here so that after your Paranirvana, we can be, we can help this world. And after the Buddha made that declaration, hundreds of thousands of tens of thousands of bodhisattvas suddenly appear out of the ground. And that image is also so visible in Canada. When spring comes, all the birds are piercing out of the snow. And it reminds me of that image of the Buddhas, bodhisattvas, sprouting out of earth. And I have also in Pittsburgh, just 2 weeks ago, shared the meaning, the new meaning that I found in a very simple practice that we have been doing for years. And that has taken a new meaning for me, reading and studying the Lotus Sutra again. When we bow to one another, and we say a lotus flower for you. When I say a lotus flower for you, When I say a lotus flower, the lotus sutra, the whole sutra, comes back to me. And when the lotus sutra comes back to me, I remember that beautiful image of the Bodhisattva sprouting from earth. I look at the person in front of me and I try to see. I try to look at in order to be able to truly see the Buddha in the person I am bowing to. And to be able to see that the person in front of me is the Buddha gives me joy and faith. The joy that I'm cultivating, looking at my teacher as the continuation of the Buddha, as being the transformation, a transformation of the Buddha, cultivating that way of looking, and looking at my friends on the path, looking at our Sangha, looking at ourselves, as being a continuation of our teacher, the continuation of our teacher who is, if we know how to look at, a continuation of the Buddha, is helping me to see more clearly the Buddha nature that we also have. To see that we are continuing our teacher, and continuing our teacher, we are continuing the work of the Buddha. So that was to share with you the joy that I have had from meditating on Thais Continuation Day. And it did give me that immense joy that I felt and that I would like to, I'm trying to share with you. That joy of having been able to be in touch with his teachings and to be able to study and practice it in my daily life with friends, with you. The great joy of knowing that he's still so well and alive among us right now, but also more aware or more of the responsibility that it bears. How can we best continue our teacher so as to be worthy of being his student? And it at times makes me feel scared, fearful. And at other times, it is also my motivation to continue and to be, to continue and to remember that the only thing that our teacher is expecting or is hoping from us is that we be joyful and happy in our daily life. And we do not need to be worried or to be stressing ourselves, because that would not be what our teacher would like to see. But it is only that we be light and joyful. And so I will try to remember to not get into my, which word to use now. When you feel that the bar is too high, when you feel that the job is too difficult, when you find that the road is too long, so I will try not to, I will try to remember when I'll catch myself in those states to remember that this thing is not about anything of that, but it's also aimlessness. And that our practice is about the present moment. It is about practicing the present moment. It is practicing joy. And it is about being here now, fully happy. So the Lotus Sutra is so wonderful because of many things. The one thing that I... remind you of two of the key messages that we have learned. The first one is that we are all Buddhas, and that is a great news. Because we are all Buddha, all the people around us are Buddhas, and to see people around us as Buddha is a wonderful sight is a wonderful insight, is a wonderful vision. Is I don't know how you are, but I love the Buddha very much, and I would like to see him all the time. And seeing him makes me happy. And learning that we are all Buddhas, and being able to look at all of the people I meet in my Sangha, on the bus, in the street, cannot but make me happy all the time. So I do not need to look for one Buddha that does not exist anymore. But I can see his manifestation, and I can see him everywhere I go. I just need to look at him, to look at anybody in front of me with the eyes of the Buddha, and I can see the Buddha in front of me. And that makes me very happy. And that's how wonderful the Lotus Sutra can transform our life. And it is also very much in line with all of the simple practices that we have been doing. Can we say a lotus for you, a Buddha to be? We can say it as a word. But if we say it and we have learned and we have practiced and we have understood and we are immersed in the work of the Lotus Sutra, then we will be very able to look at the other person, greet him, and say that, those few words, and the Buddha will appear in front of us. And that is the wonderful teaching of the Lotus Sutra. And the wonderful teaching can manifest right away. Just with a very simple coming back to our true nature. So listen, listen to this wonderful sound of the bell that brings me back to my true nature. When we are studying the Lotus Sutra, we know that our true nature is the nature of the Buddha. And all of a sudden, that practice also has taken a new meaning to me. So the two practices that has changed completely with these new studies that we are doing together. A lotus flower for you, a Buddha to be. Listen, listen, this wonderful sound brings me back to my true self. So I will invite you when you'll be doing those practices that we have been doing together, to do them now with the heart, with the eyes, with the voice, with the new way that we have, that we can learn from the teachings of the Lotus Sutra, and it will take a new meaning. And it is my wish for us that we continue to do it, and that vision and be more and more true, real, and solid every time we do the practice. The other wonderful teaching of the Lotus Sutra that we have seen and that we have started to look into are the skillful means. And the skillful means are also one of the base values of the order of interbeing. And the Lotus Sutra is all about skillful means. So when we were looking at the Buddha being born, and the Buddha teaching, and the Buddha disappearing. And this month, we have been studying, reading, meditating on a wonderful parable, the parable of the good physician. And so if you have read the parable, it's about, I'm so bad at telling story. But you know what? The Lotus Sutra is also so wonderful because it has so many beautiful stories, very simple children stories. And I wish that I could be a better raconteur d'histoire, conteur d'histoire, So that is something that I will need to learn from Marie Agnes in our Sangha. She's doing wonderful conte pour les enfants. So she knows how to take a story and tell it to children in a way that I can never, but that I will try to learn from her to do. So the Lotus Sutra is also full of those beautiful stories. And last month, we have studied about the burning house. And I don't know if you have meditated on it, if you have discussed on it, but the burning house is such a wonderful story. And it still continues to inhabit me, and I still think of it and smile every day, looking at the, thinking about the burning house. And I always, sometimes I wake up and I remember that story and it makes me smile. And sometimes I see myself as being the father outside, looking in and feeling so worried for his children who are caught in that burning fire. And when I see myself like that, I can see myself also as our teacher, looking at us and wondering how he can awaken us from our forgetfulness so that we will know, so that we will be aware of the dangers of the situation that we are in. And sometimes I see myself as one of the children in the house. And my teacher, my father, is calling me from outside. He's so worried. He's saying, get out. It's burning. You will die. But I'm too busy. I'm too busy with so many things. And sometimes I see myself as one of those child, being so engaged and so lost in my projects that I forget the conditions I'm in. I forget that the house I'm in is burning. I do not know it. So who are we? Where are we? What is the fire that is burning? What can we do? Or, so that are the type of image that comes to me when I am free, when I can have the time to let those ideas and insights sprout out. And I'm not done yet with the burning house. There's so many teachings, there's so many things that we can learn from just that simple story. And I don't know if I could be a writer, be a book that is called The Burning House, and where I would be able to describe all the situation where I find myself being sometime one of the children, being one children who is caught up in a project, another children who is caught up by his desire for the new toy, and sometimes seeing myself as the father outside, etc. But it could be a wonderful book. It can be a wonderful book. But as I'm not a writer, I count on you. If there's a good writer among us, to consider that as to collect insights from the burning house. This month, we have been invited to read and to reflect on the Good Physician parable. And that is also another wonderful story. So the bad version of the story from me. So that father left town again on business trip. Reminds me of somebody. I won't tell you who. And while he was away, his children at home mistakenly drank a bottle of poison that he has left in his fridge. Talk about a father putting poison in a fridge, but yeah, that also reminds me of somebody that I won't tell you who. And so they got very sick, and when the father came home, he saw his children very sick, and some are in very bad shape, others are in better shape. And so he, being the good physician that he is, he took out a bottle of pills there, and offered them to his children. And some was very happy and took it and was cured very fast. But others somehow did not want to take it. And the father was very sad and had to think of a way to get his children to accept the medicine so that they can be cured. And the skillful means that he found was that he pretend to die. Well, he left the house and sent a message back that he is dead. So that's when the children realized that now they are orphaned and that they've lost their father, was thinking, okay, now that my father is dead, what is it that I can do so that I can somehow express the guilty feeling of not having listened to. Okay, now that he's dead, we need to do something that we should have done when he was alive to please him on the other world. So they drank the medicine and got cured. And sometime after, the father came back because that was only a skillful means for him to entice their children to take the medicine. And that parable, like the burning house, has given rise to some beautiful image also for me. About the Buddha and his teaching. The burning house described the dangerous conditions of the world we are in. The house is burning, and there are all kind of fire burning all the time. It is also very toxic, and there are all kind of poisons everywhere. And most of the time, they look very appealing. Just like that beautiful pink cool lemonade-like poison that the children in the good physician parable have drunk and got sick with it. So what are our sickness? What are the poison we have ingested? How sick are we? Are we just a little bit sick? And are we ready to take the medicine that the Buddha has offered? Or we are too sick to even want to take it? Because the whole pharmacy is there. All the cures are there. But if we do not know what is our sickness, we may take the wrong medicine. And that will be very bad. So that is why skillful means addressed to ourselves is also important. But if we know what our sickness is, if we know what the cure is, and we are given the medicine the medicine won't be of any good unless we take it also. And so, do we know our sickness? Do we know the cure? And I think that we do, because we are all here together. We are all here together, and we know that the teachings that we are receiving from Thay is the cure that we need. And we have engaged ourselves to take it. We have engaged ourselves to be walking on this path together, to be practicing together. And so we are safe, and we are on the way of healing. And it is my, again, I will never be able to describe all my gratitude to you, to be walking with you, to be practicing with you, so that we together can benefit from the wonderful teachings, to get all the best medicine that we have to our disposal, and more importantly, to take all the vitamins and the happy pills so that we be strong, resilient. I will put the dots there for you to fill, because my vocabulary is missing. But it is about all the luggage that we can equip ourselves with to be walking this long path, to be together walking this path, and to be also together. I was to use the word show off, but I'm too shy to use that word, but to continue our teacher in how he's walking, so that people around us can also benefit from the wonderful teachings that we have had a chance to receive, and to be walking this path as the bodhisattvas that we are, as the bodhisattvas that the Lotus Sutra is reminding us that we already are walking to become the Buddha that we can be. So thank you again, dear friends, for being there. And I wish you a very happy continuation day today. We will have a silent lunch to follow, and other friends will join us for mindful working, planning, meeting for the Montreal NPC. So thank you very much, and have a good day, have a good week, have a good month, and we will see you again in November. Thank you.